You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host DK, and with me as always is Larry the Lou Guy.
Okay. For a second there, I thought you were going to go little Lou.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, there you go. little Lou. That was a JoJo reference for anybody who gets that. Nobody's going to get that. And our ratings just went down.
I'm not going to lie. That's actually my nephew's favorite season of JoJo.
Really? That's also one of mine as well. That's season 3, Jotaro. That's the, yes.
When they go French, I think it is.
Oh, is that the Italian
when
one?
No. It's the one where it's
no,
all
it's Jotaro.
Dudes.
It's Jotaro. It's before the Italian season. Okay. It's season 3. Yes, okay. Hold on. Yeah. Because that's oh.
When they're in
no,
their
no, no,
fancy
that's not
outfits.
The French dude. That's not the French dude. That's his Japanese friend. Yep. All right. Anyway, welcome back to the Mixed Music Podcast. We are excited to be here with y'all today, and we have a good episode in store. The episode is about what it takes to not make it necessarily,
but how to actually find more success in this, and the trials and tribulations that you have to go through to really see some output from it.
Yeah, and I think this is like a pretty flexible topic.
It is.
Because I think like the topic is like, if you want to work with bigger names, how to do that. Mm-hmm. Lou and I, we've both like gotten in with a few bigger names, and then also on top of that, I don't know about you, but I personally like found out that I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. So like, there's that perspective too.
Yeah.
But like I know a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm so tired of living here in nowhere Delaware, and it's like I'm just not getting the work that I want.
Yeah.
You know. So we're gonna talk about a few different concepts and things in order to prepare to work, level up your career and work on a commercial level with bigger artists and what it takes.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about building your career in that sense, but also kind of like the things that happen, things to expect as well. I think that's fair. Is that fair?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I have an idea of where to start.
Yeah, go for it, Lou.
So you always hear people saying, you know, I keep trying and trying. You know, what is insanity by definition? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If you're not willing to make small changes in your actual workday, in your lifestyle, then this is not going to work out. This is one of those situations where some of the things that you kind of have to be ready for is, yes, eventually you may need to move, right? So sometimes you're going to have to make a big change. But if the small changes are too much, let's say that you have to start wearing earplugs to protect your hearing. You have to try to network more, but you're socially awkward. Making small changes in your everyday life is what ultimately will help you get to that next part of your life. If you want to become the producer that everybody goes to, then everybody needs to know who you are, and you need to be able to showcase your work in front of them with some sense of pride. If you can't make that small change in your day-to-day by just saying, I'm going to try to reach out to 2 new people every week and just try to send them a folder of my music and see if they're interested in working together.
Or just trying to be their friend, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even like try to push your stuff. Yeah. You don't even have to. Sorry.
Like, some of my favorite clients are literally people I met just playing video games, you know, at the studio. They saw me playing Smash one day. We got to hang out and bond over games. And then they're like, let me hear your stuff, you know?
But that's typically how it goes, I feel like.
Yeah.
Networking through friendship.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like the tryhards that like networks to network.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not as
like
successful.
You can tell them out at the party. Like, yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, tap this, do that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, this seems like a lot of work for you to just give me your Instagram.
Yeah. Or like, why would I hire you? I don't even like you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's more about like getting people to like you in a natural way.
But if you're the socially awkward type and you're not really willing to, make these small changes to grow into the person that you seek to be, then honestly speaking, these are like the first steps, the baby steps. So part of these baby steps is honestly just learning to post on social media. If you're the type of person that doesn't actually like to be on social media all that much, I totally get it. I'm exactly the same way, but even I had to kind of get over it and just kind of start using things like CapCut to create little reels and little snapshots and things of that nature. But in today's world, like let's say you don't live in LA or New York or one of the major cities, unfortunately, you kind of need to find a way to reach out to people. Now, one of the good things that DK has done is with this podcast where, you know, coming from the Utah area originally with his career is just like, okay, cool. There's the Utah demographic, but obviously you planned to move to LA, did you not?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So using this podcast as leverage to kind of get your name out there is actually a good way to kind of start making these smaller changes. Even though it was for your company at first, it's a nice tool. It's a nice asset that helps your growth.
So I want to split these two things up that you're talking about, which are both super important, location and then networking. I want to split these two up. So if you want, there's a difference. So this episode, we want to kind of focus on getting to a position where you work with bigger artists, bigger names. Here's the deal. If you're in a local area or a small music scene area, there may or may not be a local studio that has one time in the last decade or two worked with a C-tier artist that's like still rumored to this day, and it's like really big deal. Mm-hmm. Oh, BYOB came to this studio 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, or like, hey, you know, whatever it is. So that's like typical for a local music industry that's outside of the big cities. Now, here's the deal. In the last decade or two, you got one medium-sized artist to come through. Like, statistically speaking, like, that's just a bad place to be putting your bets. Now, that doesn't mean the music scene is bad, but if you're trying to work with bigger names, location is the name of the game. So this is when a big influence from this is when I was at Mixed with the Masters with Leslie, and I talked to Leslie. He had a lot of thoughts and compliments about my mixing and my mix's sound. And I asked him, like, what do I need to do? I was unsatisfied, and I thought there's another step for mixing that I could take, and I'm sure there was. But he said, but he specifically said to me, in order to level up your career, sometimes it's not you getting better. Sometimes it's you and your location and the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
So basically, he told me to move to a music city because it's not the mixing that's the issue.
Yeah.
If you want more clients, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a bigger deal within the music industry, whatever, that sounds like a weird thing to say out loud. But if you want to do more, then you have to be in a location where they offer more.
Yeah, your surroundings have a lot more to do with your actual output in life. It's the same reason you see people talking about, you know, surround yourself with people you aspire to be like. Because some of their habits eventually become your own. Well, unfortunately, that's not exactly the case in music. Everybody has a very different flow, and the more unique you are, the better off you are at the end of the day if it comes to like production or creative roles. But, you know, let's be honest. If, let's say, I were to stay in Lancaster where I was born, right? There's no music scene in Lancaster. There's no major artist coming out of Lancaster. And maybe there was at some point, right? But it's not happening now. So the likelihood of me getting to work with somebody of a higher tier than, you know, other people are currently working with is so unlikely that I have to get myself closer to the action. I have to go intern for a studio that has the action going on, that actually has these clients booking out studio sessions. But if that's not currently happening in your neighborhood, you're kind of hitting the ceiling, you know? Like, once you've capped out on like the biggest artists in your neighborhood, well, you have to look outside of your neighborhood anyway. So you can only get as good as what your surroundings kind of make it out to be, you know?
That's true. So if you want to, by the way, I don't believe you need to have, you need to be in LA or Nashville or somewhere like that, New York, in order to make a living or to be happy or satisfied with your career.
We're
specifically talking about if you want to work with bigger artists.
Yeah.
Then
the B and A list.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And up. Like, if you ever even want to work with like S-tier artists.
S-tier, yeah.
Which, by the way, is such like a Japanese tier listing thing. Anyway, we're not going to get into
it. We can also do SR.
There you go. And then, but anyway, so that's another thing. So I know we're specifically talking about working with bigger clientele, not necessarily success on a personal level. Because I could have stayed in Utah, been made more money, a lot of money, done very well. But I also wanted the opportunity to work with labels on commercial music and stuff like that. So that's specifically what we're talking about. We're going to kind of keep that in that frame of reference. So if you want to work with big labels, if you want to work with big artists, you got to move to a big music city. Like now in, like, for example, in Los Angeles, it's not that one studio that had that one C-tier artist. It's every studio on the block consistently has S-tier artists, A-tier artists coming in. And it was like within the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, there's all of the artists
within the last week.
Yeah, within the last week. So, I mean, then there's also the legendary studios where it's like an everyday occurrence. Like the scale of how much opportunity for big artists is just totally wild. It's not once in a decade. It's every single hour of every day. There's a studio on every corner that has big artists. So the second thing is, how do you get into these big studios or get into his position? I want to talk about, split this up into two topics. Number one is the networking thing.
Yep.
And I want to also talk about, two, the skill thing. So I want to first jump into the skill thing, kind of just get that out there.
Yeah.
The common question that I like to bring up is, if you were being thrown into a room with Drake right now at your experience level, you didn't earn it, you just got into it right now, how likely are you able to keep your nerves and just do your best, either producing or recording, or like with Young Thug, right, who is an engineer himself, like, would you be able to keep up under the pressure?
Yeah.
Like, these people are super experienced, they know what they're doing, they know what they want. At your level of experience right now, can you keep up and hold yourself together? And if they get mad at you, like, hey, like, you fucked up, man, would you be able to keep your composure to continue to work with them in the future?
Yeah, see, and I feel like that's in itself is a two-stager, because there's the personality and there's the technical skill. The personality almost outweighs the technical at a certain point, because your ability to communicate effectively and know how to read the room is extremely important. If you're in a session with Drake, like, I hate to say it, but, you know, he's got his entire posse with him. It might just be him alone. It might be at his house. It might be at a major studio. So your technical skill needs to be able to cover everything from a home studio recording on a basic setup to an advanced studio where they can conform it to however you want. But if Drake says, you know what, let's mix this down on the console, you better be ready for the console. But on a personality level, let's say that you don't know the console and you need to sum it down, can you effectively communicate in a way where it's like it's not going to be detrimental to the session? If you need a little more time on something and he's trying to push you through it, can you communicate effectively like it's going to take two more seconds?
Yeah, I'm also thinking, like, imagine someone that's really good at Pro Tools or like really good at everything, and they've just never worked with a big artist, so it's like they're just like they're nervous. They're so nervous.
Yeah.
And then they get yelled at once. And then they just emotionally crumble.
Like, without naming names, we've kind of seen that already, even in our own studio, where like we've had people step up to the engineering chair, they have a tough session, and they're like, you know what? Not for me.
Yeah. And that happens all the time. You'd be surprised how many people it happens to.
Yeah. Like they knew what they were doing. They just social setting of it all was not for them.
I think it's like pretty common for these big engineers, modern and old, to have like horror stories. And the reason why they're legendary now is because they were able to, they have the patience and the capacity and the confidence to be able to just deal with the horror stories that roll along. Granted, the horror stories are just once every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of people that can't handle it even once.
Yeah.
And that's another thing too. Like, another thing that we always joke about and say is, if you have to eat shit, don't nibble. So it's like there's going to be times where your desire to work with bigger artists has to outweigh the level of stress that you're going to get. Because here's the deal. If you want to make more money, if you want to level up your career, that means you have to deal with more bullshit.
Yeah.
And if you do not have the capacity to deal with more bullshit, then you will never be able to find your way to up that ladder. Like, it doesn't get easier at the top. Now at the top, there's potentially millions of dollars at play and at risk. And maybe these artists up there are broke, and they got like one chance.
Yeah.
They can't. There's a lot of stress at the top. And if you cannot deal with that amount of stress, then you're not going to be able to like stay up there, and let alone come back, return back. So one is skill level. Are you able to hold your nerves, hold down, even if you are experienced, are you able to keep it down? I think working with celebrities or working with people that are really high level is something that you should practice. Like, the first time I met someone that was big, I was like, I kind of got shell-shocked a little bit, like, whoa. And then I wasn't able to perform at my best. And then there was another time where, like, that pressure was there. I was, like, super confident. I remember the first time working with Trey Songz. Like, I remember I called you. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? I was like, for some reason, I'm not nervous at all. I'm, like, really fucking confident.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that was, like, one of the best, as far as, like, an emotional perspective, one of the best sessions I could have ever done, ever.
Yeah. But do you remember what one of the things that made him confident with you? It's the fact that you knew vocal production.
Oh, right. So, well, there's a few different things. To be honest, like, I really killed that session.
Yeah.
Like, I'm confident he's had very few better engineers in that time. And it wasn't because of my ability to use Pro Tools.
Yeah. But that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
See, the reason most people end up becoming somebody's personal engineer, if that's your goal, or the reason that somebody actually ends up getting the call back, you know, just for consistency's sake, right? Like, it's a group of artists that you work with, but they all call you back consistently. A lot of times it's not your technical skill, because me and you both have seen where, like, you know, we question the engineer in the middle of a session when we get asked, like, hey, this isn't working. We're like, did you lower the buffer? Like, is that why you have latency? Oh, you put ozone on the master bus while recording? Like, this is odd. But the reason they're getting the call to work with the artist is because the artist believes them to be a good hang. They actually know what they're doing and what's best for the artist, this and that. And a lot of times it's not technically their skill that's getting them booked. It's literally the trust and relationship they have with that artist. You know, and that's where, like, the marketing side of things, I think, is important. You know, I think the fact that you can build trust within your community even before they book you is a big factor in whether you'll get a call back or not. Because if you worked with somebody once and it didn't go well, you probably won't call them again. But if you could build trust in that relationship, even if there was a few errors, they might still call you back.
That's true. That is very true. Let's overview what we've talked about then. So number one is location, location, location. Right? Being where there are opportunities. If you want to, and that being said, again, that's separate from finding success in your local area, which you could totally do. But if you're really competitive and that doesn't satisfy you for whatever reason, we won't get into the psychology of that. Then you want to go to a good area. Number two is experience and skill. Skill from a know your tools perspective, but also experience working with bigger names. And number three is very similar to that, which is being able to work under pressure.
Yeah.
Or being able to handle these high stress scenarios. Mm-hmm. That is what you're talking about as well. It's a really big deal. Now let's go into how do you get into positions that do hire or get that call back, mm-hmm. right? Number one, it doesn't just happen overnight. Like, so if you move to LA or Nashville or New York or whatever, one, you have to build a reputation and know people. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that, and this is the unfortunate truth, is that if you are... to a point in your life, this is the reason why it's best to do this when you're young, when you can live on pizza every single day and it won't kill you. Like, this is why, like, the worst person to be in this scenario where they move and want to do this, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is probably the most difficult, is like mid 30-year-old brand first-time mom.
Yeah.
It's like, that's probably like the most difficult time to do something like this, because the fact of the matter is, like, you got to be in a position where you don't have that many other responsibilities and you don't have to take care of anybody else, and you don't even have to take care of yourself, because the way to get into these doors oftentimes, like, being able and willing to take last minute horrible sessions.
Yeah.
Horrible sessions meaning like timing, like, okay, they call you at 8:30 p.m. to start a session at 9 that goes till 9 in the morning.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's a red flag when you get a last minute late night call, and it's for like an artist that a manager is calling for, and you're like, wait, I recognize that name. What, they don't already have like a go-to engineer? There's usually probably a reason why. It's probably not the greatest session to get the call for right away.
Yeah
Many times the sessions you're after, and this is the harsh reality of why you need to take these less desirable sessions, because I don't want to call them bad sessions. I've had many great last minute sessions, but I've also had like very, very awkward ones where like the artist didn't even record just because they didn't know who I was and they felt
I'm okay with those because I'm just getting paid to sit there.
Yeah, but it's awkward when it's awkward time for 12 hours.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. With that said,
have you ever worked with an artist that are like so damn high that's just like they're just not there mentally?
There was a time where we left an artist behind mutually. He was slumped in the chair.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't deal with that. Ever since that day, I don't deal with it at all.
That's hilarious.
The reality is this, the reason that you want to, just eat shit for a while is that most good artists that everybody wants to work with, that are great to work with and you have a blast working with, their engineers aren't quitting anytime soon.
Yeah.
And those engineers are calling back trying to see when the next session is, because they want to keep in rotation with that artist before somebody else gets it and stays in rotation.
Yeah.
Because those are the desirable sessions. Now, the ones that don't have a consistency in engineers, it's usually not a bad thing. It just usually means that like they don't have enough work for the need of a consistent engineer, right? But that isn't always the case as well. You know, sometimes you're dealing with an artist that's much more difficult to handle. And the great thing about this is that management take notice of this. Management can see how you work with artists all the time. And that's actually one of the reasons I got booked a lot. And to this day, why I still get calls from like certain artists' managers, because they're like, hey, I like how you work with so-and-so. Like, I know they're not easy to work with. Like, I have an artist I've been trying to like get in the studio. Do you mind like giving them a shot? This and that. It's like, yeah, sure. No worries. You know, and the managers are starting to send me clients because they know that, you know, even if the session is difficult, there's a way to navigate it and get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, so once again, part of the whole, like, you got to eat shit sometimes is because you have to build trust, not necessarily with the artist specifically, but the people that surround the artist sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I specifically before, mm-hmm. I used the example of like middle-aged brand new moms, but I think that in general, I've had a lot of people DM me and a lot of people work with me, and they're like, in their 30s, maybe even their 40s that want to do this. And it's like, what I'm not saying is that it's, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I am saying that the best time in your life to do something like that, what you're talking about, like just being there and being available, is when you're young. Because you don't have as much bills, you don't have as much like, you don't have as much responsibility, and it's significantly difficult, more difficult when you are used to a full-time income, and you're used to, and you have mouths to feed, and you have people to take care of, and you don't have time to just focus on yourself anymore. It's incredibly difficult. So for anybody that's wanting to get music career at an later age in their life, and this is like, I know I have a lot of friends who I deeply love and care about that are in this position. They decided to do something else and now they want to come back into and do something creative. Most people cannot do that. In fact, I've had a lot of interns that are significantly older than me, a lot of people that are friends that are significantly older than me that wanted to do this or even similar to my age currently, and it's just, I've never seen, it's never worked out for a single person. I don't know a single example. And I know a lot of people. Do you know a single example who like went from nothing to like doing okay?
Yes, but that's not in music.
Yes, specifically. As an engineer.
Specifically, yeah. Post-production, yes. But I also know
that a lot of... Okay, post-production, because there's actually careers in that.
Yeah, there's like full-on departments and marketing firms and...
editing union, the editing guild. Oh okay, that's different, but specifically music.
Yeah, specifically music, it's extremely difficult, especially because you're dealing with two factors that also deal with age.
Yeah.
One is knowing what's relevant today.
Oh, I didn't even consider that. Which means...
You have to, like, and this is where, like, me as a mixing engineer who likes rock and metal and banda and a bunch of other genres, like, I can kind of fit myself in different genres, and some genres have older generations, like banda music and all that kind of stuff, like Latin music. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit if you're 60. You can still make a 20-year-old bop. You know, they really don't care. But if you're doing something like hip-hop, like, depending on what genre of hip-hop it is, like, you might not be in touch with it anymore,
which might also be your benefit.
It might be your benefit too. But
if
let's
you stay
say
out
that,
of touch with it, yeah, then like,
let's
enough.
Say that you're in your 40s and you're trying to become Drake's new producer. You gotta have something that he's never heard before, or something that's like a sample, because he loves samples, of something really dope that nobody else has brought up, which might once again might be in your favor.
And according to that last album that he just dropped, he doesn't even care how poorly you flip a sample.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It can be a very poorly flipped sample. Yeah. In fact, you could be like 12 and probably produce for Drake, according to his last album, bro. Those beats were just so uninspiring. The one with 21 Savage, it's a cool album. Those beats are just so uninspiring.
I hate to say that.
I'll be open about it. Like,
I hate to
I've
say
heard
it was last album for me, but it's been no album for me,
dude. This his the album before that, where it's like a little bit more EDM, I think was way more inspiring.
I'm
significantly
not gonna lie,
more. Yeah. It was not well received by the general audience because it was so different.
Yeah,
but that's, I thought it was way inspiring because it was different.
I'm not gonna lie, that's actually like the one album that I was like, okay, Drake, I like this little switch up. Like,
yeah,
I see your voice fitting a little better for this. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's true. It has nothing to do with age. What we're talking about has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with
awareness of what's going on.
Well, awareness with what's going on, but as well as like responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like, if you have too many responsibilities on your plate, it is definitely more difficult to do so. So if you are young, if you are in your late teens,
like if
early 20s,
you have a full-time job that's paying your bills right now, you should not be quitting.
Dude, yeah, if you really, really wanted, because here's the thing, it's like, the reason why it's okay for like post-production editing is because there's jobs, there's unions, there's actual like benefits, they pay really well, like that's something that you can transition into. But if you want to do music, there's no salary jobs. Like, I've never heard, no, there's very few salaried engineer jobs,
and
especially
that,
with
then,
benefits.
That's like you went to go work for Capital.
Yeah, you got to go work for, like, I know, like, Jenny works for Spotify now, Spotify Studios.
Oh, shit, no way.
Yeah, she's been working for Spotify. And, like, there's a few salaried positions, but I'm not even sure they're W-2. I think they might be 1099. They got to pay their own insurance. Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen. That's the problem with having such a cool and high the problem with having such a high value job in the sense of like so many people want to mix and want to record and want to do music, and there's actually so little, there's so much competition, so much demand, but not enough demand versus supply. There's not a lot enough supply of the job of like positions like that out there. So it's now, like,
I will say this, you know, I've brought this up before in our like studio meetings, but you know, there's a lot of demand for a good engineer.
Oh,
there's a lot of demand right now for a good great engineer. Yeah. Especially from, studios, hit up studios. Like,
and also dude, I'm not gonna lie to you. A lot of people, this is a great time to also figure out, a lot of people think that they're great, but then they move to LA and they're like, holy shit, I don't know anything.
Yeah, there was a...
I know, because at the same time, there's a big need for great engineers in LA even, specifically because, not because there's a lack of engineers out here, there's way too many engineers out here, but a lot of them fucking suck.
Yeah.
A lot of them suck.
Most of the great opportunities that I've found is because somebody sucked.
Yes.
I hate to admit it.
Oh, that's
it,
a
but
great
like,
opportunity to swoop in and just win them over.
Yeah, I hate to say, but like one of the ways I found a job once to mix an album, funny enough, was in Studio A. And I really hate like admitting to this because it feels dirty to me just the way it happened. They couldn't figure out how to get the monitor controller to work.
What?
Yeah, they couldn't figure out how to switch speakers, even though the button that's really big and in the middle that says speaker one, and then right above it is speaker two, and right above that is speaker three.
Uh-huh.
And that was when we had the PMCs, the Quested's, and the JBLs working. He couldn't figure out how to get the sound to work.
Okay, so it's literally just a moron.
Yeah, and so the client's like, oh yeah, we're just trying to mix this record. It's like, oh, okay, dope. And once I got the speakers working, he's like, hey, do you mind just listen to it real quick? And like, let me know what you think. I'm like, of the mix or the record? He's like, both. I was like, sure. And I just kind of like pointed out the areas that should be corrected. This and that, like some masking, the little mids and blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, just pay attention to that. Your engineer should have it from here. And he's like, okay, cool. And I stepped out for like 2 hours. The guy walks out. He's like, yo, how much would you charge to like just mix these records? Because like this guy's making it sound really bad. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like kicking him out of the room. He's like, no, no, no. Like, I'll just pass you the songs like after the session. I was like, oh, it's that bad in there.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Yeah, that's great opportunity. Same thing with like my mixing stuff. You know how many times, dude, this happened a few times last month. No, twice last month.
Ooh.
No. And once already this month. is they hired somebody else and it wasn't good. And good doesn't necessarily mean the mix was bad. The mix could be great, but the experience was bad.
The experience was bad
is often the time. Like I would say like 3 or 4 out of 5 times, it wasn't even about the mix. It was about the experience. Like there was no communication. They didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. No emails back and forth. The engineer kept ghosting them. It took them forever to give them like turn around the project or whatever, do revisions. Obviously, the engineer just wasn't prioritizing this artist.
Yeah.
And then they hire me, and my mix could have been worse and probably better, actually. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, now they're my forever client, and I make thousands of dollars off of them for over the course of the next years. So it's like, it's
but experience. See, does it not, like, because we do this full time, does it not feel like we still have to dedicate a good amount of time to that client experience?
Oh, of course. So that's where my pride is.
Yeah, but that's also going back to, like, if you have a full-time job, if let's say you have kids or something, not to say that having kids is bad, like you have kids and you're able to do this.
Hoping to
have more. Like you realize how much time you have to dedicate not only to your own responsibilities, but how much of a responsibility it is to make sure the client's good. Mm-hmm. Make sure that communication is there. That sometimes they'll try to hit you up after hours. And sometimes it's okay to have a conversation, but also knowing how to set up those boundaries. Like, these are all things we had to learn the more we grow in this. But at the beginning stage, we don't really have that much luxury in saying, oh, I'll talk to you later. Sometimes you have to pick up a call at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of my favorite sessions that I talk about, just because it was like a good learning experience. And like Anna fervently remembers this.
Oh, is this about that band she loves?
No.
Oh, no.
The Ray J session that I got invited to.
Oh, got it.
I got a call at 2 a.m.
Oof.
And it was one of the producers. He's like, hey, bro, like, one of my hard drives just died and I'm in a session with like this big artist and like we're trying to play him the records that I wrote, but like the hard drive won't come on. Like, is there anything we can do? I'm like, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And I'm like trying to help him from bed. And he's like, dude, it's just not working. I'm like, all right. He's like, is there any way you can come through? I'm like, bro, like I'm in bed with my girl right now. Like you, seriously? He's like, bro, I could toss you like $100. He's like, I'm like, all right. I drive up to North Hollywood to 17 Hertz Studios, right there on Lancashire. And I walk in and he's like, yeah, the artist is in that room right there. And we're in this room. And then there's the live room. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's a hallway to 3 rooms. I fix his hard drive. I show him that the files are there and everything. He's like, dope. He walks in the other room, hands over the hard drive to somebody. And he walks back. He's like, hey, the other engineer is getting tired. Do you have any interest in actually like running the session? I was like, for how long? He's like, for like 4 or 5 hours. I was like, sure. I walk in, it's a SSL console and everything, and it's Ray J in the booth. I'm like,
oh yeah. Oh,
okay. You know, it was one of those things where like if I didn't pick up that 2 a.m. call, I wouldn't have been in the room with Ray J. And you know, I'm not saying Ray J is the biggest catch, but, you know, 7 years ago, the Smoke Cloud album is what it was.
Dude, if you're from Kentucky, Ray J is a big deal.
No, exactly. But we're in L.A. And
if you're from Utah, you know, Ray J is a big deal. but it's like, that's crazy to think about. That's like, it's not that big of a deal to you because you're from L.A. You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, that's so wild.
But it's one of those where like, you know, he was working on Smoke Clouds. I never got the credit for it, but I recorded the titular song Smoke Clouds, or I recorded a good amount of it. You know, I got the experience, I got in the room, and then I actually got callbacks for 4 more sessions.
There you go.
For that same album, which was really dope, and they all happened at 17 Hertz. Like, everything was really cool. But it was one of those where, like, I was 25 years old. I'm turning 32 this month. So I was 25 years old and it was just me and my girl in a 1-bedroom apartment paying $900 a month, you know, in Alhambra. I drove a 2003 Civic that I didn't have payments on anymore. You know, I had the lowest possible cost I could possibly have so that I can continue doing this. And I worked from home. I didn't have a big studio or anything. I just networked with people and tried to build good relationships. And that resulted in somebody calling me when their hard drive died.
Mm-hmm.
And that resulted in a Ray J session and 3 more after that.
Yeah. So that's the thing that happens when you're available. So I do think, kind of closing this podcast episode, let's go over it one more time. Location, yeah. And then we talked about experience and skill. We've mm-hmm. talked about the ability to handle with stress. We've talked about networking. Let's talk about into practically now. Now you're in LA, you're working hard, maybe you're even getting good at Pro Tools or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you want to work with these bigger artists, you have to know Pro Tools. Yeah. It's not good. You can get away if you know Logic or Ableton. If you're a producer, then it doesn't matter. But if you're trying to be an engineer specifically, you have to know Pro Tools. It doesn't matter. Whether or not you like Pro Tools, you have to know Pro Tools and be mm-hmm. good with it as an engineer. As a producer, it matters less. But if you can produce and engineer, that's a dangerous combo. It's a yeah. great combo to have. So might as well just learn Pro Tools. Anyway, so the last thing is, okay, now you're there, you're in the right place, you have the mindset, you have the ability, you have the lack of responsibility, and you're just trying to get into these big rooms. You're not going to get calls at 8 p.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning. Mm. You know, you're not going to get those calls just because you're in the location. The last thing is, like, now a practical advice is to either intern, go up to studios, talk to them about, these studios often do need last minute engineers. Like, all you don't have time to go to the biggest ones, just find some local ones. Even the local ones have great credits and big artists coming through all the time.
Oh yeah.
So just go around to the studios, make sure that you're available, go through their training programs if they have any. You don't have to spend money, but you don't have to go to a school. And just make sure that you're available. Take donuts as well. Have resumes. From someone that looks at a lot of resumes, keep your resume super simple. And if you don't, just put in the relevant information. Like, I don't give a shit if you worked at Sprouts or if you worked at Barnes and Nobles. But I do give a shit that, like, you know how proficient you are at Pro Tools, how many songs you've worked on in the past, or if you have any, like, experience owning or running at a studio, mm-hmm. assisting for an engineer. Those are things that matter more. If you know how to video edit.
I will say this about your resume. Don't flourish it with stuff that you can be called out on easily. Even if you think you know about, let's say, Pro Tools, right? But you've never ran a major session, you're like Pro Tools expert. Chances are
you're not
the
a Pro
owner
Tools
of
expert.
The studio is a Pro Tools expert, which is why they know how to run a business like a studio and stay afloat. It's slightly detrimental, and I say slightly because everybody gets room to grow. That's the point of an internship, right? But if out the gate you've been caught in a lie, it's not a good look.
Yeah, I will say that it's better to say I have less experience, but I'm very fast at learning and, more importantly, dedicated to learning.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a priority for me. I'd rather have that resume than someone that says I'm really good at what I do and then I find out that they're not good.
Yeah.
That's how you don't get called back.
I always tell people, like, I don't mind repeating myself. I just mind when I'm repeating myself to a wall. Like, if you're not going to grow, then that's it. Cool. I would rather have somebody who's completely new. Like, Henry's a good example of this. He never used Pro Tools before, and he got to the point within a year where he was engineering a Keisha session for me because I wasn't available.
Great.
You know, like, within a year, you can get there. But that's what, like, he was there at the studio almost every day. There was times where I had to tell him to go home.
Yeah. So, I mean, practically as well, another practical thing too is going back to the networking thing. Now, as much as you can, you want to network with people who are going to hire you. And again, networking equals just becoming friends with. You don't have to give them a business card and make it about business. But, like, go out to these. There's a lot of, like, get-togethers and parties, meet and greets. Go to all of them, even if you're just an awkward person, and then just go and meet people. As an engineer, it's better to know A&R and producers than other engineers, but even if you just get to know, because other engineers aren't going to hire you. But that being said, I've been hired a lot by other engineers that weren't able to make it and they needed a backup, someone else that can back
that
me up and
trust.
Do it. Yeah. So if you can work with an engineer, do so more on, like, a personal level, and then you're going to be the first time you're going to get an opportunity to work with someone, you're going to be the backup of the backup of the backup. And if you say no to that one opportunity, you're probably going to lose the opportunity for future callbacks.
And this is actually, that's a really good thing to bring up, because unfortunately every studio operates with that, even if you aren't new. Let's say that you're the regular guy for a certain studio and you're trying to build opportunities with this new person who hasn't really given you a lot, but because of that you're turning down sessions at your regular location. I understand the want to grow, but the more you say no, even if you're a veteran, the less you look available and the more they're going to have to rely on somebody else. So I've seen a lot of veterans lose their spot because of availability.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's okay for some people too. Like,
the veteran
now
might have actually found a better situation.
Yeah, or like they're like, yeah, they're comfortable, like for now. And this is where I get a little bit out of touch because I came out here, and just speaking briefly on personal experience, I came out here and a couple things. I started hitting milestones way too fast, which led to like a deep level of like unhappiness and depression. We won't get into that, but there's something beautiful about earning things, like going through difficult things to get what you want. Like,
oh yeah,
it's difficult to get what you want is more beautiful than it just happened. And for me, when I moved here, I was so ready to work hard and everything just kind of clicked into place too fast. And I went into a major depression, but we won't even go into that. But I'm talking also like the fact that I'm no longer in the marketplace. I'm not actively, like if you call me at 8 p.m. and say, come in for a session, I will say, no, I don't care if you're Drake. I will say no. Like, I have very hardcore boundaries.
And that sucks because I was about to tell you, I have a Drake session for you at 8.
Dude, here, this is crazy. This is crazy. Like, if you told me earlier in the day and I found that it was worth it for the credit, dope. But if you call me at 8:30 for a 9 p.m. Drake session, I probably won't say yes.
Yeah.
It depends. Maybe I would once. But it's got to be like if it's Drake,
just
right?
Taste.
Just if it's Drake. But if it's like another B-tier artist, I probably wouldn't.
Smoke Perp?
I probably wouldn't. Yeah. And I do like some of Smoke Perp's song. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's the thing,
Delilah.
Too. It's like, okay. Anyway, there's, I'm in a position right now where, and I don't know if you are, I mean, you're more flexible than I am because I've got kids. But yeah, like I'm just in a position right now where like I'm good with where I'm at. I make enough money from just working at home in my own boundaries. I work like 9 to 5, 9 to 6, Monday through Friday. I don't even work on the weekends. And like I'm like booked out the wazoo. Like I'm busy during that 40 hours. And I probably work a little bit more than 40 hours. And I want to spend time with kids more than I do want to work with an artist. And so like I'm in a different position right now. So I am now, to a certain degree, depending on what we're talking about, like I'm out of the marketplace for that.
Yeah.
So like even Lou has called me and be like, hey, can you do this session with this bigger artist? And I'm like, hell yeah, Lou, that's awesome. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like that. No, yeah. Like recently I actually spoke with one of the artists that I work with a lot and you know, they're like, oh, I haven't seen you around. I was like, oh, I'm working on this project, this and that, like, and you know, it's got me pretty busy. And the reality is like
such a power move to say no to big artists.
It is, but it's a dangerous power move. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous power move because, once again,
you got to commit to that.
Who's the backup?
Yeah, you got to commit to that. But that being said, like, I'm also imagining, like, there's lots and lots of people that want to be given that opportunity that honestly deserve that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad for saying no because, yes, I miss that opportunity, but I know I'm passing it on to someone that needs it more than I do.
Yeah.
So I think it works out. It works out better for the artist. It works out better for the engineer. It works out better for, well, depend. If you know someone, then it works out better for you because now you have somebody else that you know you could trust.
Yeah.
Right? But that being said, like if you call someone and it's a risk, every time you get recommended, it's a total risk. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Recommendations, giving recommendations is
a risk.
So if you were recommended, if you know Lou and Lou has never watched you work, he just likes you, which is a great way to get recommended to do something. And Lou knows that you're a recording engineer, you record, you're comfortable with Pro Tools. It's all he knows about. He's never seen you work. He doesn't know if you lied about your ability to use Pro Tools, but he likes you enough to give you this opportunity with, let's say, Keisha Cole, right? Or just another.
Anybody,
it doesn't matter. And he gives you that opportunity. Right? That is a risk on Lou, and you are a liability because if you mess it up or if you upset the artist,
I just won't recommend you anymore.
Not only will you not be recommended, but your name is now going to be shit on. Nobody's going to very few people, like Lou's circle is gone, and anybody tied with Lou is gone. And so what you want to do, it's like low-key damage control, and then if you are good enough and experienced enough, you're going to be recommended even more. Now, if you do it, like if you recommend someone, you take that risk and give someone the opportunity and they kill it. They're so happy. It makes Lou look like he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
To both the manager, the A&R, the artist, or whatever. Like, it makes Lou look good. But if Lou, like, for example, when I moved out here, I recommended the same person to two different artists, local artists, no big deal, local artists, and the person that I recommended fucked up so bad that both of those artists actually like called me with death threats, which is a whole nother thing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We won't even get into, which is a whole drama thing. But like, it comes back. So if it's good or bad, it comes back to the person. It's a big risk.
Think about like how a contractor works, right? You want a house built, or maybe you're just renovating your backyard, right? We'll just use a backyard as an example. You just got grass and turf in the backyard, right? But you're like, you know what? I'd love a good barbecue pit. And you hire a contractor. The contractor's going to be like, okay, I got a brick guy because they want this special kind of gray brick or something. But then you hire the guy and then it comes out wrong. The client's not looking at the brick guy. He's looking at you, the contractor.
That's true.
You know, I don't care about the brick guy.
Why'd you recommend this guy?
Did you not communicate with the brick guy? Did you not know that he didn't have the right brick? I thought we talked about this. Like, you know what I need.
Yeah.
Why'd
you
bring me somebody that doesn't know what I need?
So if you want to be recommended, be reliable and be great. Be great.
Yeah.
And you got one chance, man. You got one chance.
Yeah. And that's why it's honestly really important. If you're going to make a recommendation, be very careful of who you recommend. Because just like how DK said, it does come back. Well, they might not take your recommendations in the future.
And let me be really tough and sincere about this as well. Because here's the deal. If you get recommended and you have the skill and you're really good, you just didn't personally, emotionally get along with the artist, so they have a bad experience. Not because you're bad at Pro Tools or anything, but because you just didn't get along. You clashed or butt heads or whatever. One, that probably means you didn't do your job and you didn't shut up enough. You probably talked too much and you didn't know your place. But even if that happens, that's so few and far between that, dude, I'm gonna, if you didn't have a good experience or it didn't work out, it's probably because you suck. It's not because the artist, it just didn't work out with the artist. It's because you need to understand that you have a lot more to improve. Don't let cognitive bias get in your way. You probably suck, and it's more important that you admit it than it is to be like, oh, it was just a bad experience. We just didn't click. No, that's probably true too, but it also was because you suck and you couldn't handle it. If you were great, then the artist would have had a decent experience even if you clashed heads. But it, also,
even if
you were great.
If it's an idea you don't like and the artist does, that's a big factor in whether the artist has a good time or not.
That's the problem with like nowadays, way too many people are dishonest to each other and then dishonest with themselves. Like, way too many people are just like, I know I'm good, but that was just a bad experience. No, you're not good. That's why that was a bad experience.
Yep.
And you're losing a great learning opportunity by not admitting to the truth.
Because as we communicated, good is more relative to not just technical skill, but your personal skill.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
if
it
was a bad experience, it could have been one of two factors, but if one of those factors suck, you still suck.
So here's the thing. I do not like to sugarcoat things and say, hey, it's going to be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. Like, if you fucked up, you've lost a big opportunity. But the good news is you're going to get a lot more. But it's, again, going back to, it's really, really, really valuable and important to know where you stand, to know what your boundaries are, know what you're willing to do, know what your skill level is relative to other people, and to commit. That's the last thing that I want to add, is your ability to commit and to focus.
Yeah.
So if you come out here and you're like, hey, I'm going to do my engineering thing, but you're a responsible human being that's like, okay, I'm going to get a day job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very responsible thing that everybody should do. You should do that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something right now. If you're a hyper-focused, irresponsible tard,
where
you're like willing to go broke to do nothing else other than engineering, you're more likely to make it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Which is why it's probably better to do it when you're 20.
Yeah.
Not that it's impossible, but...
Dude, there's something about because I know a lot of, and we call it the golden handcuffs. You come out here, you get a nice cushy job. Now you got golden handcuffs. Now you're unable to leave that and risk everything for that 8 p.m. gig because you got a job at 6 a.m. the next day that is consistent and pays pretty well. And you know you could pay rent with. You're not willing to risk that regular job for this one time high risk scenario. You don't even know if you're going to get called back. And you don't even know if you're going to get paid for it.
So, you know?
So it's like, it's
kind of
tough.
Funny. There is one way to, And this isn't surefire because it's still time consuming. But if you, let's say you have kids, let's say you have a wife, let's say you have a mortgage.
Or a husband.
Or a husband. Doesn't really matter what. You could have a dog, you know. But let's say that you are kind of glued to your situation, both in location and profession, right? But you're having a hard time finding ways to build trust with people around you and network and look for opportunities. You know, there's one thing I did notice on YouTube, and this is something I like to do. I like to look at YouTubers' mixing rates. They're typically 1,000+ per mix. And then when I look at the actual credits, it's never somebody I've ever heard of in the genres that they're actually pitching. Like, there was one that was like a
rock. Like, they're not like A-tier artists.
They're not A-tier artists or B-tier. They're typically like C-tier and below. And the C-tier was like a song that was like on a TV show, not an actual album release or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking shit about the YouTuber themselves, but think about it. They wouldn't put the price if people weren't paying for it. And most people will say, send me a quote versus buy now. You know, like I have a buy now feature in my website, but I don't have it like publicly. Like I don't just promote $500 or whatever. Just go to my website. If you like the price, you can buy now. If you need a different price point or something, you can always ask me for a quote. If you want to do an album, you can ask me for a quote. But if you want to just statically book, some of these YouTubers are charging 1,000+ with no credits.
That's because, dude, trust goes longer.
Trust goes further.
So further.
And content creation, I'm not saying it's easy. Because trust me, DK, you've seen my videos. They suck.
nice self-deprecating.
I'm just saying
humor.
The content is good. The execution of the editing is okay. Just subpar.
The
editing is subpar. I'm not very aesthetic.
I think there's like a general rule of thumb that I've heard. It's like in order to do well on YouTube, you got to have two of three things. You got to have good editing, interesting topics, or like a great personality, and you got to pick two. If you don't have a great personality, you got to have good editing and interesting topics. Yeah. And if you don't have good editing, you got to have a good personality and interesting topics. Yeah.
What if you only have a good personality?
You need to learn some editing, dog.
So the funny thing is this, like, you know, these guys have built, guys, girls, it's whatever. They build trust in their community by creating content that is not just supporting of themselves, but if you target it properly, like let's say as an artist, this is how an engineer would approach your mix. As an artist, this is how this. Or as an artist, this is how I like to work with my engineers. And then that might actually attract engineers to want to work with you because they see how you like to work with engineers. They might resonate with that, whatever. Point is, that if you can find a way to build trust without actually having to lose your current situation, you could still do this at 30, 40, 50, 60. There's, what's his name? All he does is review music. And like, he's like the greatest top 10 drum fills. And then he'll have his buddies play the drums in his studio. And he's just promoting his studio the whole time. He'll play the guitar and play the licks and explain why he likes the licks so much and why they work so well musically. And because of this guy, even though he was already producing a lot, think about it. Rock and roll doesn't really sell as much as it used to, but yet he's finding a lot more clients because of his YouTube channel.
Maybe if we should do an episode about how to make a living from engineering or producing in your local area.
Yeah.
In your local area, because that's separate again from what we're talking about today, which is like working with celebrities, right? But like, yeah.
But
thanks
to
the internet.
Get the referrals? Yeah.
Thanks to the internet, there's ways that you can overcome the trust barrier so much more efficiently, so much faster, so much more scalably.
Yeah.
Scalable.
A much more scalable sense?
Yeah, there you go. In a much more scalable way.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, this episode and these future episodes from now on, we don't really have to talk about it, but I'm going to start dropping Sweetwater links.
Nice.
Yeah, we are now an official partner with Sweetwater. So anytime that you click the link, we'll just do mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors. Sweetwater.
Nice.
mixingmusicpodcast.com/Sweetwater. What it does is it takes you to like our special affiliate link. And if you buy anything within I think, what is it, within like a week or two of clicking our link, which is like it captures your cookies or whatever it is. We get like a solid like five pennies, dude. 5%. But I mean, if you're if you're gonna buy something that's pretty expensive on Sweetwater anyway, we really appreciate if you just click the link, because we make money and it doesn't cost you anything.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about upgrading Studio A with Apollo 16. I might just send us 5% back.
Dude, heck
there's a,
yeah.
There's a Cash App promo, and maybe I'll do cash back on my credit card. I'll try to get all the cash backs together.
There you go. There you go. That's a great way to do it. And I feel hilarious. Like that's against the rules.
I think it
using
is.
Your own.
I bet it would be.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so one more time, that is mixandmusicpodcast.com/... Sweetwater. But I'll have like, whenever we do like episodes about gear, I'll link the specific gear to like the information part of the podcast. Like in the
Sweetwater
bio.
Doesn't have it the most closely related unit. There's
Sweetwater has everything. I love Sweetwater. Yeah. There's a reason why I reached out to them, is because they by the way, dude, I love Sweetwater. No, I'm not gonna say what I was about to say, but Sweetwater's the best. I love Sweetwater.
Don't love cookies.
Anyway, love y'all, love being an engineer, man, being a music producer is great. That's another topic we could talk about maybe on a different episode, is I got a part-time day job from November to February for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great things I learned about it. And then that's a whole nother topic we can get into it. I actually was like really like, it really hurt my pride and I didn't even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I did it, and now that it's done and I'm back to doing music full time again, dude, there's so many good things that I learned about both myself and I don't know, about my career. I'm like really excited about it. That's probably one of the best things. My mental health,
death in that sense, really should help.
Dude, my mental health is so much better now. It's crazy. It's crazy because I feel like I was really ungrateful about my music career. Mm-hmm. And then I did that, and it was like a really dope job. It was a great job. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still ended up wanting to do music. And then it made me realize how great it is to do music. So it's like, I almost like quit music. And then now I like came back to it. It's like, oh my gosh. And like when I became grateful for, this is a whole nother episode. When I became grateful for doing music again, like all of a sudden all the floodgates opened and every opportunity opened up, and dude, yeah, things just started happening, clicking back into place. Anyway, we'll get into that. This is a different episode, but if you're looking to engineer, if you're looking to produce, if you're looking to record, even if you're looking to mix eventually, it's a great thing. Location, 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 man.
Oh yeah.
And on that note, we hope you all the success in the world. We hope you much happiness. We wish you much love, success, all the jazz. We hope that you continue to keep your head full of hair. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.